We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1. A podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
Welcome to the Heat Beat postgame show. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And not with me today is Brian Goins, our producer and co-founder. He is boycotting. He was very upset by the two turnovers at the end of that game. He said, I'm not coming on the show, and I'm pretty sure he's not going to edit the show either out of spite. So I'm going to have to – I'm working overtime after this. Also with me today is our statistician and pun master, DeKais Duncan.
Hello, hello.
Also joining us today is our trash tweeter, Jack Alfonso.
Hey, hey.
And our guest for the program of Distance and Dimes fame, Iman. What's up, homie?
Thanks for having me on.
She's here. She's I imagine she might gloat a little bit. We're gonna have to fight back as Heat Nation. Oh, I'm caught in the middle, so but I think this is a really interesting kind of post show because regardless of how the last 30 seconds of that game went, I wanted to talk about the exact same thing because these are two teams that I think are really well coached, probably the two best coached teams in the East. That is right, Budenholzer. You're not involved in this conversation. It is a Nick Nurse and Eric Spoelstra conference. And the thing that 100% stuck out was the way that the Raptors defended Duncan Robinson. All of us are tweeting about it. It was pretty – they're – Nick is the only team that has done this?
Only team that's done it successfully, at least. Teams have been blitzing Duncan off of those handoffs. That was one of the things that stood out during the scrimmages. But Denver plays an aggressive screen defense anyway. They tried to jump some of those dribble handoffs. And Toronto just completely erased it. Very smart move by them putting OG on Bam Adebayo today. In preparation of that dribble handoff, you saw there was an instance of it in the second quarter where they tried to run the dribble handoff on the left side of the floor. Quick switch, Norman Powell jumps in front of Bam, kind of taking away that role. Ended up being a late clock turnover because Miami just didn't have an open court. Duncan didn't.
And Duncan's gotten good at that little dump pass.
Yeah, it's very timing based, and Toronto disrupted that. That's a credit to Nick Nurse. It's a credit to the players on the floor. And once that went away, once that was taken away, you saw the issues of Miami in the half court. Kendrick Nunn becomes their best spot up, their best pull-up shooter in the half court once you take away Duncan Robinson. And Kendrick Nunn had absolutely nothing to provide to them.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Happy birthday, Kendrick.
Oh, no. Is it his birthday?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Not the best game.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yo, Iman, how much are the Raptors doing stuff like? I mean, I know I watch a lot of the games, but I know you watch a lot more closely. How much of the stuff are they doing with like OG kind of on a big, able to switch kind of actions like that, really, really going over screens and erasing shooters like that?
That's part. Look, when we talk about the Raptors defense as a whole, and everyone kind of talking about, you know. This has been something that we've all been harping on, which is the fact that like no Raptors probably going to make an all NBA team, all defensive team, and like OG Anunoby just being such an integral part of that. The fact that the Raptors can use him on a big like he did on Bam Adebayo just allows for like we saw it yesterday too. They just went up against Anthony Davis and OG played on LeBron. Siakam was on AD, but it was exactly the same thing of just like being able to put one of their guys on a big and just stop absolutely sort of any sort of movement the rest of the team has and taking away pretty much all of their offense, forcing teams' half-court offense to just stall completely. And yeah, the Raptors are a special team that way because they have so many guys that can switch and you can put a guy like OG on a big.
I thought that like they could not, Miami could not get any favorable matchups up until Goran started doing a lot more isolation stuff.
Is that retro Goran? Like maybe I haven't paid enough attention to the Heat this year.
One of the best isolation players in the league.
It felt like it was like 2016 or like 2015. Like I felt like, has Goran not taken a step back in that way at all? Because he was special tonight. I don't know.
The guys, was it? Yeah, like 1.16 points per possession in isolation. Is it something ridiculous like that per synergy?
Him, again, I've kind of mentioned it on prior pods, but him adding a step back three, a side step three, has kind of opened things up because now teams have to play him a little tighter on the perimeter. And that's him to get to the rim, which is his real bread and butter, kind of throwing those elbows in there. So, yeah, he really turned things around in the third quarter for a Heat team that just didn't have any kind of answer in the half court.
Is he the Heat's best ISO player? Like, is that who you sort of trust in the half court when things sort of slow down? You don't have the dribble handoff and you don't have all of that action off ball. Is he the one you're trusting?
Personally, I think it would depend on the matchup. I personally always want the ball in Bam's hands just because I think he's the best player and I think he can do the most things when the offense is centered around him. Maybe not as an ISO guy, but especially not in this matchup. I mean, we talked about OG. Bam just had nothing for OG the entire game. And I've never seen anything like it from Bam, who has been really good all year, but like especially recently and especially last game. Like credit to OG, Bam just had nothing for him. And I mean, since Jimmy can't really hit jump shots anymore, I would say Goran's their ISO guy.
That hurts Jimmy. I think as a passer, like I think Goran's a little oversold as a passer. I don't think he's the best guy. He can't really find those pocket angles very well. Jimmy's really good at that. So you kind of like it when he's ISOing because kind of he can get guys to collapse and hit dudes in the corner when Goran kind of struggles with that. But just like if you need a bucket, just the jump shooting and even the pull-up stuff. I mean, Goran can pull up at the free throw line and I think you're really comfortable with him scoring in that position and kind of getting contact. He was probably their best player today. Duncan completely gone, and I think that kind of shows you how, and we've talked a lot about this on the show, how much of their offense hinges on Duncan and how their third best player was pretty much neutralized, couldn't get anything going. Even when he was getting open looks, kind of in the third quarter, he got that corner three that Fred kind of closed out on, but he got the shot off clean anyway, totally missed it. That other wing shot in transition, couldn't get much going, which you kind of get a shooter off kilter a little bit, you tilt them and it can go off the rails really quick. And Miami doesn't, for as much as we've praised Miami's offense, and I know probably in the playoffs Spo is going to have some more stuff to kind of get Duncan going and kind of initiate that action a little early to shake off some guys, but I think Miami's playbook was kind of exposed to be a little limited today. I don't know how you guys felt about that, but like there wasn't much that they could go to other than their isolation stuff and the dribble handoff?
I think it's less that the playbook is limited and more so that the personnel is kind of limited. And Duncan kind of hides a lot just because of the attention that he draws. Again, if you're drawing, if teams are trapping those dribble handoffs, that typically means Miami has a 4-on-3 on the rest of the floor. And it's easier for guys to attack those creases when they're more open like that, when you're playing at an advantage. With Toronto kind of mixing in those blitzes and then switching those actions, those creases close. And then it comes into individual shot creation. As you see, Jimmy Butler had a great stretch early in the third quarter where he was drawing fouls on literally every possession. But there's no real pull-up threat outside of, I mean, the big four there in terms of creating off the bounce. It's Jimmy, it's Goron, it's Tyler Hero who finally showed up a little bit.
Finally.
And it's Kendrick Nunn. And when Nunn didn't have it, Butler still doesn't have his jumper. You're at a disadvantage. And Toronto has great defenders all over the floor anyway. So even if you get, like, Tyler going downhill, he's taking contested shots. So there was no easy offense being created for Miami.
Yo, I was actually really, like, speaking about easy offense, I was, like, shocked that Miami was able to defend Toronto competently. All we've done is slander their defense for, like, 3-4 months. Iman, did that surprise you? Because I know Toronto's offense is, like, kind of middle of the pack, but Miami's defense isn't very good.
I wasn't surprised. Not more so because Toronto's offense just has not been good as of late, and there's just not so they have got Fred VanVleet, who went off tonight, and even still, like, that was just getting to the line. It was really just Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry. Wow, I can't pronounce his name, guys. I don't know.
Did they trade for him?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know Kyle's name, unfortunately.
Off brand for you.
Yeah, it's been a lie this entire time. Like, I'm not even a fan. No, but
40.
The Raptors' offense has just been really bad, and I think part of that is the supporting cast. Like, Serge Ibaka hasn't been able to hit a shot. Norm Powell hasn't been able to do anything. To me, it was...
Bubble Norm, because previous Norm was killing it.
And like, non-bubble Serge was really good as well. I just thought that, like, the Raptors' offense just has looked bad in these first two games. And it could be Russ. It seemed like Russ, but especially with the bench. The Raptors just are going to struggle being able to create anything in the half court. They just can't do it. They get all their baskets in transition. That's what the Raptors do. They get down, they push, they run. They have two guards who've been able to get to the basket and get to the free throw line quite a bit. Credit to the Heat's defense, but also I just think the Raptors don't have it offensively right now, and something needs to change.
I don't feel like the Raptors really got out in transition at all today.
They didn't. Barely. They didn't. Yeah. And that's why, like, the Raptors scored because they hit a lot of threes, which is something they did not do against the Heat in the last game there. They had a lot of good looks from threes, and Fred was just on fire, and they got to the line. But you just really can't count on that, and I don't think that the Raptors really created anything for themselves that made you feel comfortable as a Raptor fan.
How do you feel about that as, like, a matchup in the playoffs? So, like, there's a lot to be said of Miami kind of hunting for that 3 seed. They play the Celtics tomorrow. They play the Bucks on Thursday. Their schedule's pretty brutal. It gets a little easier at the end. They get Indiana twice. So, like, they have some finagling to do to kind of leverage that 3 seed, especially if Boston, who has not looked particularly great in the first couple games. So I'm kind of wondering how you feel about that as a matchup, because that's something that, like, today is what I've always feared about this matchup. Like, they just have so many wings and defenders, and, like, Miami's offense kind of worries me at times. So this was, like, doomsday for me.
Yeah, no, I was talking about this earlier. I think the Heat are a bigger question mark because a lot of, you know, obviously what the Heat rely on are a couple of rookies and some unproven guys. Whereas the Celtics, I think, just have more proven threats, and the Celtics are just a better defensive team, where if I don't trust the Raptors offense, I can trust that they can get hot against the Miami Heat. I don't know that I fully trust the Raptors against the Celtics. I think that the Raptors will, like, I think the Raptors should be favored in either series. I just think the Heat are a worse team than the Celtics. And for that reason, I talked about, there's a lot of noise in winning 8 out of 9 games in overtime. There's just a lot of noise in what the Heat have been able to do. But I fear the Celtics more, but I'm scared of the Heat because I think it's going to be a slogfest. It's going to be an ugly series, and both teams are going to come out with, like, injuries. Like, I just don't trust a healthy Raptors team coming out of a series against Miami Heat, so I want to avoid that one.
The last time they played in 2016 was a bloodbath.
Yes.
And what I described to be, it looked like college basketball, except with players you kind of trust. That's what that series looked like. It was
awful. Oh, you trusted basketball. Any of the players there? I didn't.
I mean, Dwayne Wade was on the Heat. I trusted Dwayne. I mean, for better or for worse, Dwayne. I trusted Joe Johnson. I mean, like.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, that was. And I feel like a series, again, would just look just like that. Just really slow, really ugly. The Cesarian
section.
And Jonas and Hassan both got getting hurt right away. It's just like, it's going to be a bad series. So I don't want that. Save that for Milwaukee, guys.
Why are you slandering Goran on Twitter? Why are you calling him dirty?
Let's
air this out.
Okay, I mean...
He's not.
I said that I didn't think that was a dirty play. I said I thought Kelly Olynyk was a dirty play, and I called Kelly Olynyk the dirty player.
Celtic Kelly Olynyk was a dirty player. Miami Heat Kelly Olynyk is an honest-to-God forward who plays by the rule book. You're thinking about Celtic Kelly Olynyk.
There's never been a dirty Heat player.
There's never been a dirty Heat player, ever. I don't like what people call Dwayne Wade a dirty player. That was like a thing that was like circulating for 5 years.
It started with the All-Star game, didn't it? With him like breaking Kobe's nose or something.
It started with him kicking Ramon Sessions into nuts.
Oh, yeah.
There was the Rondo stuff.
Poor Ramon Sessions. And then the Kobe mask thing.
Noted rapper killer Ramon Sessions.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, anyone who's ever played for the Charlotte Bobcats is considered a Raptors killer at this point.
That is so we have this thing on Heat Twitter called Random Scrub Heat Killer.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, you know, a lot of Gary Neal, Marcus Thornton, Wayne Ellingtons, a lot of those guys.
When I think of Wayne Ellington, I think of the Heat, though, so that's funny.
Yeah, well, man.
Yeah.
That's why they got him. It was a light years move. They got him so that it can't be used against them.
That's funny. Yeah. Ours would be Gerald Henderson. It really is. Like, I don't know if you guys know William Liu, who has a podcast. He has a Gerald Henderson award that he gives out every night, which is the scrub on the other team that absolutely destroyed the Raptors.
Oh, we should totally do that. We should steal that. Well, I hope he doesn't steal from other people.
Wayne Ellington of the night.
Yeah. Marcus Thornton of the night. Or Gary Neal. Who's the premier Heat random scrub Heat killer? Is it Gary Neal?
Have you ever heard of DealDash.com? It's the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you'd never expect at a price you'd never believe. They have over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. And here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every time an item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker is that the auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer the item or it's yours. If you go ahead and buy now, DealDash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign up on top of their other discounts. Go to DealDash.com and use the offer code HeatBeat20 or DealDash.fm/HeatBeat20. That's DealDash.fm/HeatBeat20.
Gary Neal was a good one. Wayne Ellington was just infuriating when he played for Brooklyn. Because it felt like he was always open, but then he wasn't open.
Gary Neal had the high-profile one in the finals.
That's true.
That's why.
You got a lot of people.
That's why that would kill.
I felt like Tolliver always kind of went off.
Tolliver! Oh, my God. He still does. Who's he with? Is he with Memphis now? Yeah, the other day he was hitting quarter threes against them. I was like, oh, make it stop.
Painful.
Nikias, how do you feel about a Heat-Raptors series? How do you feel about this? Because this is very possibly a second-round matchup.
I don't want it.
It would be ugly. Not a super fan. This is why I've kind of been of the mindset that Miami staying in that 4-5 bracket is probably best for them if they want to make the Eastern Conference.
Shocking.
It sounds absurd on the surface, but I mean, I feel like they would be favored in the series against Indiana. They should be favored in the series against Philly at this point. And then they match up well enough with Milwaukee to make that a series. Like, Toronto just has way too many rangy defenders. And again, if you can take away Duncan Robinson and kind of the attention that he draws, like the Heat just don't have an off the dribble threat to really that consistently be the set defense. Like Jimmy is a threat inside of 8 feet at this point. That's about it. Bam is a threat inside of 8 feet. Nice to see him taking more mid-range jumpers.
Unleash it.
But like he still has a ways to go as a shot creator. Like the fact that he it didn't even seem like he tried to post up OG once today, which is a little bit concerning. Mm-hmm. And it's confusing because he just kind of didn't do that, and then he gets basically doubled by Serge Ibaka and Gasol on one possession and throws up a hook and makes it. I'm just like, well, try it on the smaller guy.
But I think the only dude willing to post up people on this team right now is Jimmy. Jimmy got Fred on him a couple times, and he was taking him down low. Not too much success, but he was trying.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what to think about Jimmy late right now. He just seems to be in his head. Like, he's very passive, and I don't understand. Like, early third quarter Jimmy, if you import him into the last two possessions, I feel like the Heat get at least one trip to the foul line instead of those two turnovers.
I mean, that the first turnover was bad. I mean, like, Kyle didn't even touch it. It wasn't even close. I don't even know why that review took so long. Yeah. You just made it it made it more frustrating for me to have to watch that over and over again because that was very Joel Anthony-esque how he did not catch that pass.
I don't think it was a great pass.
It was a workable pass. It was Goran that gave it to him, right?
Really, Kyle was on him. Kyle, like, was there. I didn't think it was a great pass. I can give Jimmy crap for that, and I guess Jimmy is, like, the main person at fault, but I don't know. I didn't think it was an amazing pass. I feel like it was just, like, a miscommunication. It goes both ways.
I thought it was really catchable, and it just, like, hit the side of his arm like he didn't remember how to catch a pass. Well, it was bad. I hate when games end that way because it's just no fun. It just makes everybody mad. Like, Iman, like, you're a Raptors fan. Like, you watch that. Like, are you happy?
I'm not though. Like, back-to-back turnovers is just like, you kind of just lame. Like, the Heat, and are we supposed to take this team seriously? No offense, but
Whoa!
I'm kidding. It was a close game. It was a lot closer than I thought it would be, honestly. Like, the Heat just don't give up. They're a team that, like, just keeps coming back, so to see them sort of collapse like that in the final minute, no, it wasn't fun. It wasn't exciting for anyone.
Would you say they have culture?
Yeah. Culture is taking out Kyle Lowry's eye and trying to maim someone else.
Boston Olynyk. That's not Heat Olynyk.
Someone called it Maim Ami Heat or something. Someone tweeted me something along those lines because I was talking about them trying to maim our guys.
Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is finally kicking off this week, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro athletes Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champion Robert Horry. See what they had to say and what it'll be like playing about fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
Okay, so before we go, I want to get into something you were tweeting about because I think it's interesting. You know what's funny? I was supposed to have Alf 954, our Heat Twitter president, on to yell at you about this, but he's a coward and didn't want to come on after a loss. So Alf is a coward. I think he's doing 5 on the floor now. Check out whatever they do over there. You said that Masai Ujiri is a better general manager than Pat Riley.
Yeah. And I got, like, it's fun. Honestly, like, I didn't realize this, and I'm really late to this. Pissing off Heat Twitter is, like, a really fun pastime. Like, no one told me about this. I've been, like, playing around with these Boston Celtics and my Milwaukee Bucks for so long.
You had a target over here that you never
I didn't realize it. Very, very passionate. But hear me out, guys. I'm not like, everyone's, like, talking about a million years. Like, Masai Ujiri is a fairly new GM and president. I'm saying, let's look at these two teams over the last 7 years. Masai Ujiri has done a better job. And if you put him in Miami, you give him America, for one. You give him a warm climate versus a city where it snows in May. And you give him no state income tax versus another country where apparently players get taxed twice because they play in Canada but are American. You take away all the disadvantages that Canada has. Give him all the advantages that Florida has. And the Miami Heat are a better team than they are right now because they weren't dishing out contracts to guys who got high on a plane and ended up being waived and are now the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm
on its way to a title. I don't know.
I think that Masai Ujiri has done just a much better job in the last 7 or 8 years with a very shit hand. And the Miami Heat get a lot of credit, but it's kind of like they did not do as great of a job with a better hand. I mean, they obviously there was a shit hand in there, Chris Bosh and all sorts of things, but
yeah, no, their best player almost died. Their generational center.
That's another thing. Like this Chris Bosh love.
Oh my God, stop it! No, one thing at a time, Iman. I will say one thing about the Masai Pat thing that I think is really unfair that you were doing. So Pat's been here almost 30 years, installed. I mean, quote unquote, a culture, and not just a culture, but just an identity. Like the Heat have a very clear identity. I know Masai's done that over there too, but I mean, Pat's been doing this for 30 years over here, right? And it's been 30 years of success, not just the three titles, but a lot of Eastern Conference finals appearances, a lot of playoff appearances, very few lottery appearances. And I think the last 7 years is not really, I mean, I think the first four or the first three, we can really attribute some of those decisions to Chris Bosh. And the last two have been really good. I mean, they managed to get Jimmy Butler without cap space. They've done a great job of scouting and drafting. I mean, Duncan Robinson is an undrafted free agent who's terrified the daylights out of the Raptors that they went through all hell to contain him.
1 of 5.
Like, but, I mean, that was their defensive game plan. I mean, their game plan was...
Which, I mean, it's credit to Masai Ujiri for putting together such a brilliant defensive team. Talk about undrafted guys. Fred VanVleet, 36 points. Lit up the team. Undrafted.
But to cherry pick 7 years
Okay, here's the thing about cherry... Okay, and I get what you're saying. And I'm not, like, fighting this to, like, yeah, I don't actually care either. Like, it's not something that I strongly believe. It's something that I say on Twitter. But here's my thing. Calling one person better than the other person, I don't think is calling the other person trash. Like, that's one thing that I want to say.
That's how Twitter works, Iman.
Number two. I'm looking at, if you look at the sort of most recent years, because we can't sort of pull on 20 years or 30 years of Masai Ujiri's career, which, I mean, credit to Pat Riley doing it for as long as he has, the Heat have not been as successful in the last few years as the Toronto Raptors, despite being
their good. Most successful they run ever compared to the Heat's lowest point. That's not fair.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about since Masai Ujiri has been an executive. You look at kind of both of their resumes, and you're like, yeah, Pat Riley, really great job at undrafting and developing these guys. Masai Ujiri, holy shit, yeah, that's a much better team. A team with zero lottery picks winning a championship, that's pretty impressive. Taking a team, I just want to say this, taking a team with no draft picks, paying luxury tax, out of the playoffs for 5 straight years, and in 20 minutes turning that team to the best run in franchise history. Like, Masai Ujiri came into the worst situation in sports and turned it around without a single bad year. Like, the Raptors' worst year in that was like a 48 or 49 win
the
team.
The worst situation in sports?
Worst situation in basketball. The Toronto Raptors were the worst situation in basketball.
Did the Knicks die?
They were a better team. They were like, they had Melo and they were winning like 54 games that year. When Masai Ujiri came to the Toronto Raptors, they were the worst situation in sports and within 20 minutes created a team whose worst record was 48 wins. That's impressive.
Listen.
There we go.
We'll agree to disagree. I will relent to the guest. She's a homie. Nikias, before we head out, can you hear me, Nikias? I just see Nikias's chest on the camera. Guys has checked out.
He walked away. He did not.
What
have
is he
time
doing?
For...
Is he done with this? Was he done with Masai Pat talk? I was gonna
noted Lowry hater Nikias Duncan. No, yeah. I'm joking.
He's just mad because Chris Middleton's had a rough bubble.
Lowry. Are we gonna talk about that?
About what?
Are we gonna talk about like the reason this conversation is silly because it like does not depend on Pat Riley the person versus Masai the person. there are a million, like, luck plays way more into being a successful GM than, like, making the right decision. Because Masai tried to do things that would have ruined the Raptors, like, indefinitely. And Pat Riley did do things that ruined
them. What did Masai try to do that would ruin the Raptors indefinitely?
I mean, didn't he try to trade Lowry?
He was going to trade Lowry in 2013. But that would have just changed the complete trajectory of the team. He wouldn't have built around DeMar DeRozan. It's not like we would have had the same stretch of Toronto Raptors. It was just like, hey, this Brian Colangelo team, I'm done with it. I'm going to build this team in my own vision, which would have been a completely different team. The Raptors would have had a high draft pick that year, which I think was the season that Giannis was coming out, and Masai Ujiri was part of Giannis coming to Canada. I'm pretty sure he would have targeted him. The team just would be completely different. We know that, like, Masai's guy was Giannis. He was trying to get into that draft as hard as possible. Had he traded Lowry for a pick, that's probably the direction the Raptors would have went in.
So real quick, kind of pivoting and kind of closing out the show, Nikias, you think that they're going to – you think that looking ahead to Boston and Milwaukee, do you think that he can kind of get out of this with a winning record or no? The week.
It wouldn't surprise me to see them split that because I think – even with Milwaukee suffering that tough loss to Houston, like, Milwaukee basically has to win a game to clinch the number one overall seed. So it went, and Bud has been going with a lot of full bench lineups for whatever reason. Like, I don't think he's been taking these games extremely serious in terms of the lineups that he's been throwing out. So it wouldn't surprise me if we don't see, like, a big Giannis stretch on Thursday night.
It
wouldn't surprise me, like, and Miami's matched up well with Milwaukee this year anyway. So I'm kind of anticipating a Heat win there, which sounds absurd, but yeah, I think mine comes out of the winning record. I think they lose the Boston and beat Milwaukee.
You don't think that getting the three seeds like live or die? Like,
No, I think they should stay in the 4-5.
Me too.
Do you like Indy or Philly more? I haven't asked you this.
I would still rather face Indy.
I want the Sixers, man. Bring me the Sixers. Bring me Ben's head. Let's get the slander going.
See, I care less about that.
I'm here for jokes, man. I'm here for Shake Milton jokes. I'm here for Ben jokes. I'm here for Joel jokes. I need that content. That's what's going to make this fun.
You see, you're talking to the fun bastard, though. I'm making jokes regardless.
I mean, so look, there's TJ Warren jokes, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid jokes. You know, one's way better than the other. Although those Pacer fans. Iman, you want to go after a fan base? Go after the Pacer fans. They're so annoying.
They're so sad, though. They live in Indiana. Sad. You guys live in Miami. I can make fun of that. You guys have, like, nice weather and, like, beaches. Like, I'm not making fun of, like,
tax.
Corn. I don't know what exists in Indiana. I'm in Canada.
Corn rolls?
I just, like, imagine, like, hay fields. Like, I don't know.
Jack, didn't you live in Indiana?
I did live in Indiana. Hey. But I lived in the place where OG Anunoby was. So, like, okay. The good part of Indiana. Yeah. Fellow Hoosier, OG Anunoby, and future Heat player, Victor Oladipo, also former Hoosier.
I don't want Oladipo. So, I'd so much rather have every other star associated with the Heat rather than Oladipo.
That's fucked up.
Mitchell, Beal, or Giannis, or any of the other people. I don't want Oladipo. Oladipo's, like, very comfortably the worst one. And the biggest risk.
It's not happening.
Like, I'm sorry.
Giannis is not going to come to the Heat.
Twitter has essentially become...
Giannis is coming to Toronto.
Everyone thinks they're getting Giannis. Warriors Twitter is, like, convinced that they're getting Giannis.
We've been on this. Raptors Twitter's been on this since 2015.
We've been doing this forever. I mean, come on. We all think we're getting Giannis. We just know that the Knicks aren't getting Giannis. That's the only thing we do know.
I get the masses or whatever.
I hope you guys make the conference finals, though. I'll say that.
Yes, let's go. We have an ally.
As you guys are in the 4-5 spot, I'm rooting
you
for
there.
For my
we'll do this again.
Eastern
yeah,
conference
we'll do. When are the conference finals? Is it on October? I don't even know.
I have no idea.
I'm all fucked up with my dates now. Amon, where can people find
the off season? Gonna...
Yeah, the off season's like 2 weeks.
Know that yet?
The offseason is like 2 weeks.
Like, for real, they're planning to start the next season on time still?
December, right? December 1 yeah. still?
Something like that.
December, January, somewhere in there.
It's ridiculous.
It's messed up.
Iman, where can people find your work? Where can people find your podcast?
Dishes and Dimes. We've got some exciting things in the works. We talked some playoff preview with Boston and Miami for the Raptors. I said that, you know, I'd prefer to play Boston over Miami. So that was my take. So yeah.
Nikias, have you been on Dishes and Dimes?
I have.
If he's on before me, I'm going to raise hell because I thought I had the Heat Raptors market cornered. And I see Nikias on Raptor podcast. And that shit offends me.
You know, we'll bring both of you guys on at the same time.
Answer for your war crimes, Nikias.
You see, they're looking for a Heat voice for those pods.